19 past the hour, Marin in for Cedar. I can take one more call about this issue of respect and words and hate speech and right and wrong. It's a huge topic. I mean, it could go on forever, but I can only speak as from my own personal experience and, excuse me, as a comic. Okay, Cole in Missouri. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. What's on your mind?
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you.
I don't think it's the. I can deal without being able to use the N word. I think most white people can. But what's not fair is the double standard and how like derogatory an African American could be towards Caucasians in their acts versus the other way around. It goes that way a lot with minorities. And you know, like yourself being someone who's Jewish, you know, you can make fun of someone who's Jewish. But if someone else does it, it's you know makes fun of the faith. But if you're white and you're Christian and you're male. You're fair game to everybody.
Well, that's
a lot of people.
Well, that's an interesting thing because I wonder about that. Now, does it hurt you? Like, if an African American was to say, "Listen, Whitey, is your feelings hurt? Do you feel disrespected?"
I think it's funny when, like, you know, there are tendencies, and you know, the white guy voice that Eddie Murphy started. A lot of guys do.
Richard Pryor started it.
I think that's funny. You know, I mean, I just don't think it's fair that there's no level playing field. Like, when's it going to
Let's talk about that for a minute because I think when you look at the history of black comedy and from what I see. That Richard Pryor did level the playing field. That, you know, when he was talking the way he talked about white people, that was the first time that was a public dialogue coming from an African-American comedian in the way that he was doing it. And it actually relieved white people in a certain way to be seen in that light. And he was actually bridging a gap by being critical of white people in the way that he was. And I think, honestly, if you're a white comic and what you're saying is not stereotyping and you want to make a cultural assessment and a comedic level about how you see the black community or your interaction with black people and you're coming from a real place, that it could be a respectable thing.
You should be free to do so. Yeah.
Well, you are free to do so. It's just there's not a lot of people that have the guts to do it, and there's not a lot of people that are capable of doing it in a way that comes from an honest place and is respectful.
If I can make a real quick point, the thing with from my generation, you talk about Pryor, Chappelle was the guy who I thought was real even-handed when it came to his show. His show was hilarious because he did make fun of black people, white people, Latino people. He made fun of everybody, and he did it in a new way. And the funny thing was is that I heard that one of the reasons he quit his show is because he was pressured from people in the black community who thought that he was really portraying them in a derogatory way, and they didn't like it. And that was kind of the flip. That's something that you don't usually hear.
Well, I think what happened with Dave is that you get to a point sometimes as a comic, and certainly somebody who's dealing with the type of racial expression that he was dealing with, is you have to ask yourself, are people laughing at me for the right reason?
And when he started getting self-conscious, there was anecdotes that some white guy on the sketch, he was doing a sketch about black stereotypes, white stereotypes.
I know. And he didn't.
Was on, yeah, and the white guy was laughing too hard at it. And he thought, no, wait a minute, maybe I am going to, maybe I'm not just, you know, portraying reality. Maybe I'm, you know, having an effect on this.
Well, right. He thought he was adding to the problem by, yeah. I think it was the minstrel character that he thought the white guy was laughing at him because of it was funny in the way that minstrelsy was funny to white people at the time of minstrelsy, which was is racist. Now, but that aside, I believe that white comics can approach racially loaded material in terms of looking at the black community if they do it in a way that is respectful and not belittling, because no one has more respect for the truth as an audience, in my experience, than a black audience. If you're performing for a black audience and you're full of crap, and you're white, that's a long set.
And yeah. One guy that does get away with it is Ralphie May, because I think Ralphie May actually is black.
I'm
open for Jay Moore. That guy is hilarious. He's from the hood. He is for real.
He's look at the momentum that he comes at it with. He's a large man. He's an angry man.
He sounds like the big Aunt Jemima. He sounds like a large black woman.
Yeah,
we saw him on stage when he was about no kidding, 200 pounds heavier than he is now.
Yeah.
And we saw him in this big old silver suit, and he was just hilarious and just coming, yeah, with that energy that you're talking about.
So, you know, but so it can be done. I just think it's a misnomer that this reverse racism and that it isn't a level playing field. It just takes courage and respect to do it properly. And there's not a lot of people that have that. It's a lot easier to go the base path and just, you know, lean on old stereotypes and act like, you know, you're being gypped somehow. But to really assess race with a certain amount of sensitivity and respect is very challenging, especially for white people. But I don't think it's not allowed, and I don't think that it's illegal in any way or frowned upon. It's just it's a tough thing to do, and it takes a lot of courage and a lot of respect. Thanks for your call, man. Mike, what do you got, Mike? In Columbus, Ohio.
I just got to disagree with what your previous caller was saying. I mean, if he wants to make the point about how, you know, a white male Christian, their favorite name for everybody, but it doesn't have the same kind of power if, say, a black person insults me as if it were the reverse. I mean, I can give you a prime example. I used to work at a phone center. Guy called up one day, got mad at me on the phone, called me a cracker. I hung up the phone, said to the guy sitting next to me who happened to be black, that guy just called me a cracker, and we had the best laugh of the day. If it was reversed, that wouldn't happen.
Well, that's right. But I think the dynamic that you're talking about, I think what's really at the core of this issue is that, you know, when the black community found a voice, you know, through Richard Pryor and comedically, and just in my experience, I'm not a historian, that, you know, that was the minority speaking truth to power. And the bottom line is, I don't care what you say, that, you know, white Christians have all the power. So, you know, if a white Christian person is talking down to a member of an ethnic group or a minority group, that it's going to be very difficult not to make that seem, you know, disrespectful, racist, condescending, and wrong.
Exactly. Just like you said, it can be done, but it's tricky.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for your call. I think it's a matter of honesty. And I'll tell you something, even if your honesty is incorrect, at least you're going to be showing yourself for what you are. And if you're going to be a, you know, white guy and you're going to be addressing these kind of things, if you're a racist and you're being honest, at least people see you for what you are. But it shouldn't be illegal. Obviously, it isn't. You have to have these things at the edge to define the middle.
Isn't the problem, though, that if you're exposed for that, though, then you should probably be shunned and not hold hands with leaders of the black community and say that you're going to be healing everyone now?
Well, clearly the only thing to do when you do that publicly is go to a rehab of some kind and reassess your you know, who you are and what you've done. Yeah, absolutely, you should be shunned, and the topic should be discussed like we're discussing it now. But you can't forgive the guy that did it right away and just say, well, thanks for opening up the dialogue, you racist freak. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it should take care of itself. And that was the whole idea, I think, of the First Amendment, right? That it's got to live and breathe, and the truth will persevere and justice will win, right? Right? Wayne's looking at me like, I don't know, I'm not sure Marin closed this up properly. Maybe I need a black perspective in that room. 27 Pass, we'll be back with Borzu Daragahi in Iraq.
Cedar on Air America Radio.